Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's looking forward to a good Wednesday and a Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study tonight. And let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you so much, and Lord, for this time to look in your word and help me, Lord, to be truthful to your word and to be and to send the Holy Spirit to help me to be honest to give your word the justice it deserves. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Sometimes I get a little tongue-tied trying to think about it. I know what I want to say, but sometimes I think I need a little kick by the Holy Spirit to say what I'm really feeling. But in chapter 10 this morning, and I named it Glory of the Lord Leaves the Temple. It's amazing that as I've been studying this is that the fact that it seems like, it doesn't seem like it's definite, that the Lord was actually in the temple up until this period coming forward. See, Solomon built a temple around, I think it was around 900 BC. And so for about 300 years or so, the Lord has been coming and going to the temple. I don't know how often. Maybe as my studies continue, I'll learn more about that particular area. But here he's leaving, and he's leaving the area until he comes back again in the Millennium Kingdom. And so this is a big deal that God finally has given up on his people, this world, and is going to go back to heaven until a time that he returns back because the Jewish nation calls him back, and that'll be at the end of the millennium. I mean, at the end of the tribulation. So let's start with a jump in here. Might run a little bit longer than usual today, so I'll try to stay at it diligently and not get off track too much. I do have some pictures to one you've seen before, just to kind of refresh our memory from other times. This chapter here is kind of like it fills in some of the gaps that we saw in the first chapter as to the glory of the Lord and what Ezekiel sees. He's starting to finally understand what he saw back on the Chaldea River. So let's start reading here. I won't read through because there's 22 verses in this chapter. So I won't read through. I will just take it as it is. And I don't have as many notes as I usually do, only because there's a lot of stuff we've already reviewed over the past few lessons. And so I can, if you really want to get back into something we missed, we can always go back and look at some of the earlier recordings, particularly the first few that talk a lot about this same stuff. So starting here, Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1. Then I looked and beheld in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Again, we see the same thing here. It's in Ezekiel. We see it again in Revelation. Well, you remember from that study, some of the same terminology we also see in the throne room of God. And so I thought I'd do a little reflection on that. It's in Revelation 4, 2, and 3. And immediately I was in the spirit and beheld a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he had this, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So that the kind of vision we're talking here in this in Revelation is similar to some things that we see. This picture here is kind of an artist's rendition of what this person thought, and I concur, he was seeing when John was in heaven. And what Ezekiel is seeing is something along this lines, with a little bit of this mixed in. So you probably, if you've seen my other talk on this, you see the rainbow and the you don't really see a man on the throne, but you see an essence of the man on the throne. And I think that's the point. I've read some commentaries. I'm starting to believe it, that the actual portion of the Trinity that's being represented in Ezekiel is the Holy Spirit, as the glory of God, as the one who's out and all over the world, you know. But keep an eye on these pictures, because I'll bring these back a couple more times as we go through this. Ezekiel 10:2, and he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And we see, and this I wanted to mention that about the linen, and every time it seems linen, it's talking about righteousness. And so I just wanted to comment that back in Ezekiel 9:2, it also mentions this man with the linen, and he was the one that went out and marked the foreheads of the those that were going to be the were righteous men. So it ties together the righteous man along with being sealed by the Holy Spirit, which includes us. So here in Ezekiel 9:2 is where we first saw that. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And he went in and stood beside the brazen altar. I remember that from yesterday's teaching. In 9:3, and the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man's clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. So this is God in chapter 9, getting ready to leave the temple. Also want to point out that we are sealed also, and over in Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And we are also sealed. It may not be a visible mark on us, which I'd hope that most people can tell you we're Christians, just by the way we are. But that we are already sealed by the Holy Spirit also. So that this is something that we have the privilege of having too. Now it's talking about coal. Let's see, about verse 2. And but then some coals of fire from between the cherubims and scattered them over the city. Boy, does this sound awfully familiar. I didn't get the verses, but it reminds me of when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down fire and brimstone on the city to destroy it. Well, it sounds like he's doing a similar thing here to the temple because of the defilement that's going on. And we'll actually see that tomorrow in the next chapter. But here they're preparing for it. And so the Lord is getting ready to leave the temple, and he's instructing the angels to get ready by collecting these coals of fire from between the cherubims. So some verses that talk about this over in Psalms 18:12. And the brightness that was before him, the thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. This is a common punishment that God uses. 2 Kings 25:9. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's houses and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. Now, 2 Kings here, this is talking about this time frame. So we can see that what Ezekiel is being shown here hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And 2 Kings here is when it shows that it did happen. And it kind of reminds me of what happens in Revelation 8:5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. So this is going to happen again come the tribulation period. So I also mentioned that whenever you see coils of fire, it's usually a judgment of God. It's what that represents. Okay, over to 10:3. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the men went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of brightness of the Lord's glory. I guess what they're talking about here, inside the Holy of Holies, this is our picture from yesterday of the Holy of Holies. And up on the left side here, these are the two cherubs that he's in between, that they're talking about in this verse. So God is getting ready. This is where he is when he's in the temple, and he's getting ready to leave. And whenever we see, and also the other thing is, whenever we see the cloud full of smoke, and his presence is so awe-inspiring when he gets ready to do judgment, it seems like they always mention that the house was filled with the cloud and the brightness of him. And so I think what he's doing is he's leaving this area, and now the people out in the outer court can actually see him. So just look at that verse one more time. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the threshold of the house, see, they bring this picture in. The threshold of the house they're talking about is where these two pillars are. It's a smaller version, but the Holy of Holies we're just talking about is way in, on the right side. And a holy place, we saw all the gold walls and everything, is in the middle here. And the porch is out here where these two posts are. So that's where this verse is talking about right now. And over in Numbers 69, we talks about the glory of the Lord and about the tabernacle. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Kind of a similar thing in Numbers here. This is back during the tabernacle, which was a tent, but God also came into a very similar setup as this temple. Also in 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14. talking about the glory of the Lord. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lift up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the house of God. So when he's in the house, it's quite awe-inspiring. It says here that the priests couldn't even minister because the glory of the Lord was so all-encompassing in the temple. See, it's also in Revelation 15:8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were filled. Now that's an indication in heaven. Again, he's mentioning the glory of the Lord, and that and it seems like whenever he gets ready to start due judgment, like in this case here, this will be towards the end of Revelation during the bowl of judgments. And actually, I guess he didn't want anyone in the temple while this was going on, so he had everybody leave, and that. No one was allowed to enter into the temple during this period here in Revelation. We'll actually be up there during this, so we'll witness this. Ezekiel 10:5. The sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. Now, this is an interesting talk about the cherubim. Now, bring those two pictures over again. Cherubim are these things underneath the glory of the Lord is above the platform. And that's the sea of glass or gold, or it's set a few different ways. And the cherubim underneath here with the wheels in between, kind of like holding up the Lord. And Here's another way that it's maybe indicating that the creatures they're talking about and these rings that hold up this area where the Lord is above it. And I think this is indicative of these four cherubims are always found anywhere God is. And I'll get into a little bit here in a few minutes, but I think they represent the gospel, and it represents the gospel of God that was given to us to understand God. And again, there's symbology here, and I'll go over it here in a little bit when we get to a different verse. Ezekiel 10:6, and it came to pass that when he had commanded the men clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. That was that first picture that was kind of all gold looking. That was kind of indicates that, see how you can see there's like this fire underneath there? And that could be indicative of the coals. Again, these are all artist renditions of what people reading this vision are envisioning. So let's try to help us maybe understand. You know, it helps me a little bit sometimes to try to visualize what I'm reading with a picture. They say a picture's worth a thousand words. To the chief, so I wanted to bring up in Psalms 81, it talks also about the between the cherubims. The chief musician, this is a psalm of Asaph. Give hear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. But at other times it references that God resides between the cherubim. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Okay, back to Ezekiel 10:7. And one cherub stretched forth his hand. I might mention stretch forth here. Actually, in the Hebrew, means sent forth. So this cherub was sent forth, his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. That's a little hard to understand, but really the wings that these people look a lot like men. I didn't find a really good picture that showed the hands under the wings. Yeah, none of the pictures I have really show that. But that at least that these particular creatures, these visions, I'm not sure what they actually look like, but they're like a representation. And again, I'm going to go over what I think that they represent here in a minute. Also here in verse 8, God references in Isaiah 6:6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. Seraphim and cherubim is the same word. Isaiah uses a little bit different spelling. Having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. So again, this represents that this coal, this fire, maybe more representative of the wrath of God, like I mentioned before, that judgment of God. I truly believe, though, these are visions that actually Ezekiel was seeing. Now, what they're representative, I think that's what we have to kind of interpret a little bit. Okay. Why did I put Daniel in here? No, my verse 9 is out of place. Let me fix that. Okay. Ezekiel 10:9. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. I might mention beryl stone. Very interesting stone. It's like a golden yellow. It's very rare and very hard. I guess it's in its purest form. but it's really hard to find. It's almost a, it's second in its hardness. It's second only to diamond. And today, that particular stone is called topaz. But over in, let me finish 1010. And as for their appearances, they had 4-1 likenesses. And if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel, oh, that's in the wrong place too. Put that back where it needed to be. Okay. So this is mentioned over in Daniel 10:6 about the barrel. His body also is like the barrel, and his face has the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So it's an appearance that what this I picked this verse mainly to show what ba another reference to a barrel. But also in Ezekiel 1:16, it uses that same word barrel, and here the word the Hebrew word is actually quasi visio maris, and what that stands for is the aqua of the seas, or a bluish green color, better known as my birthstone, aquamarina. And so it could be either, it seems to be the beryl, could be either a go yellowish gold, or a light, like a bluish green. So it's some gems can be in multiple different colors. So I just wanted to show the difference there. It's back to Ezekiel 10:10. And as for their appearances, they had one likeness, and if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. I still think this is might be indicative of a gyroscope. Let me just show you one here. A unique thing about a gyroscope is that it has the ability to maintain orientation. They use them in aircraft. I know that it helps the pilot. It's what he uses to be able to tell if he's right side up or upside down. And I think what it's representing here, when they talk about this wheel within a wheel, and the artist's renditions make it look more like this, a wheel within a wheel, all full of eyes. So I think that represents that the true attribute of God is that he stays, his orientation stays, he never changes. He's always the same, his orientation. And you'll see that the way some of the verses talk, like he never changes his mind. He stays on the straight and narrow. He doesn't go off on a tangent, for instance. He knows where he's heading, and that he has a. And then the eyes represents the all-seeing ability of God. He sees all and knows all. And so I think that these represent. Now again, I think this is what Ezekiel is seeing, but I think they represent something else. Some people try to turn it into some kind of a aircraft or some kind of alien spacecraft. I don't believe that personally. I think God is God, and He's able to do, make us see whatever He wants us to see. But it's to send a message. So on this, got Psalms 97:2 that kind of reflects this. Clouds of darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Notice he has a path, and he's going to stick to that path, and he's not going to waver away from it. I guess is the best way I can put it. See, in Revelation 4:6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like under crystal. That's where that plate comes from. I just wanted to show it over in Revelation what that sea of glass is like under crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I get this verse mainly for the four beasts that see all. That's the same idea. As it they all-seeing knowledge of God. Also in Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Okay, back to Ezekiel 10:11. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place where whether they had looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. This again describing these gyroscope things that once they're heading in a direction, they don't change. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they had, that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And everyone had four faces. And first face was the face of a cherub. Second face was the face of a man. The third face, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Now, this is where I was going to explain a little bit what this means. And so basically, these four faces, I believe, represent the four attributes of Jesus Christ. And being here in Ezekiel, it's more of a foretelling of the attributes of the Son of God, which includes God, because Jesus Christ is God. And just to go through them, the cherub in this case is a servant, okay? And here they use the word cherub. In Revelation, they use the word ox. But it still stands for the same basic thing. It's a servant of God. And I thought I would just point out over in Ezekiel 1:10. And for the likeness of their faces, their forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the forehead the face of an ox on the left, and the forehead the face of an eagle. So I want to show that in one part of Ezekiel, it says ox, and another part it says it says cherub. So again, this represents a servant. So the cherub could have a face that looks similar to an ox, but it more be more symbolic. So just to go through those four. A man, the face of a man stands for intelligence, and it's the intelligence of Jesus and God. The lion is for courage, and that's the courage of God, and the courage of Jesus Christ. The ox is ox, or the cherub in this case, is patience and perseverance in labor, meaning that a servant. And then the eagle is great. Penetration, sublime sight into the heavenly things, readiness to rise up into all that is great and divine, or his divinity. And so I've mentioned this before when we studied Revelation, that these stand for, well, there's a few people that believe this, and I can see this, it makes a lot of sense. It stands for the four gospels, and the four gospels are, you have Matthew. Matthew is for the Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, which is the lion stands for the tribe of Judah. And then the Mark is the servant. So that's represented by the ox. So you have the book of Mark, and it shows Jesus as a servant. Then you have Luke. Luke is a physician. He represents the man, or his back to the fact that he's a man. He's fully man. He's fully God at the same time. And then, of course, John shows his divinity, or the eagle. So that these four things go all the way back to Ezekiel as a somewhat of a prophecy of the coming Messiah and his attributes. I found that fascinating, that all the way back here in Ezekiel, you know, 600 BC, they're already showing pictures. I'm sure that, you know, at this point in time, they didn't know that the Messiah was due. This is probably pretty early in that. I can't say for sure. Maybe some did, some didn't. There are a few verses that along this lines over in Revelation 4:7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Calf and ox are similar also. It's a beast of burden. You know, it's a workhorse. It's a servant. The third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the flying eagle also represents vision, because they're way up there high and they can see all. It's like that also indicative of God's divinity, but also his ability to see all. They're also used to adorn the temple. Let me get to my temple picture again. And if you look really closely at it, inside the holy place, you see all these pictures on the sidewalls that all these different creatures are represented here inside the Holy of Holies. I mean, inside the holy place. So that's what it's talking about here when it's coming up. So I want to point that out in First Kings, it talks about it. And on the borders there were between the ledges were lions, oxen, and cherubims, and upon the ledges there was a base above, and beneath the lions and oxen were certain additions made of thin work. So that's describing this holy place inside the temple. For on the plates of the ledges thereof, and on the borders thereof, he graved cherubims, lions, and palm trees according to the proportion of every one, and additions round about. So back to Ezekiel 10:15. The cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. So here he's verifying that what he's seeing here near the temple is also what he saw when he first had the first vision from God. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went with them. This is the part I say that means that, you know, that God is his orientation always true. It's always in a positive, definite direction. He doesn't waver from it. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. And the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar. And I knew that they were the cherubims. So this verifies for him, for Ezekiel, what he saw originally was a vision of God back at Chebar. So he knows that everything he's seen so far is directly from God. And that's an important aspect. And over in 1 Kings 6:29, I bring up this also describes some of the things he was talking about in the Holy of Holies. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. And the floor of the house he overlaid with gold within and without. And for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree, the lintel, and side posts were a fifth part of the wall. Don't know if you noticed that when we bring the picture back. If you look, now it's cut away, that Holy of Holies, you wouldn't normally see that. And you can kind of see that folded door there at the top of the stairs. That's what they're talking about there. Doors of olive trees, the lintel and side posts were a fifth part of the wall. So it was pretty high. That's what, and you can see it's a pretty high wall. The two doors also were of olive tree, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and sprayed gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. So also made he for the door of the temple a post of olive tree and a fourth part of the wall. And the two doors were of fir tree, and the two leaves of the one door were folding, and the leaves of the other door were folding. And he carved thereon cherubims and palm trees and open flowers and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. This over in 1 Kings is basically describing the temple we're looking at, that God is it's in it's still standing. Now this 1 Kings is going all the way back to about 900 BC. This is when it was built. and it's still around here, kind of showing that it's still here when Ezekiel was prophesying in 600 BC. For all the plates of the ledges thereof and all the borders thereof, he gave cherubims, lions, and palm trees according to the proportion of every one and additions round about. So, ending up Ezekiel 10:21, everyone had four faces apiece, and everyone four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. And I just want to point out that it's the same thing as seen over in Revelation 4:7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying lion. Let me just read the next verse too. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which is to come. Okay, Ezekiel 10:22. And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river Chebar. The appearances and themselves, they went every way, every one straight forward. And that, again, straight, everyone went straight forward, indicative of the fact that God doesn't waver from his promises. I think that's what it represents. And it kind of interesting that it uses the symbology of the gyroscope. So I'm not sure that, I don't know when that was invented, but it's kind of interesting that it looks very similar to one, even back then. And it might have been not so much for Ezekiel's case, but for ours, to kind of give an indication of what, to help us understand God better. So that's all I'm going to stop there for today. That's chapter 10. Chapter 11 we'll get into, but now currently in chapter 9, basically God left the his place inside the Holy of Holies. And he went out to the threshold basically during chapter 10 here. It's kind of showing a progression of him leaving the temple. And in chapter 11, we're going to see him actually leave the temple area and go up on the Mount of Olives. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow. So we end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, oh, so much for this insight into your character. And that, love getting to know you, Lord. I really do. And I want to know more. I can't wait to meet you and to really converse and to be in your presence, and I'm looking forward to that day, Lord. I give you all the praise and thanks for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys all have a great day, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.